Good morning. Welcome to Christian Life Community Church. Thank you for joining us online and to everyone joining us here. If you ever want to join us in person, we're at 3151 Rittner Highway and we meet at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So this week, as I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to talk about, he said peace and rest. And I was like, oh, that sounds awesome. I would love some peace and rest in my life. And sometimes it's hard to get, isn't it? We have a lot going on. I mean, just all the announcements today, it's like, okay. But that's a good thing. A lot going on sometimes means we have life. You know, we're participating. For some of us parents, we have sports starting back up again. I know the other parents understand what I'm talking about. Life is about to get crazy. So sometimes in those seasons, we have to be more intentional about getting that peace and rest. And so sometimes when peace and rest isn't naturally happening because of our circumstances and our schedules, right? Some of us work more than one job. Some of us, you know, just have a lot going on. Then we have to find peace and rest somehow in our hearts and minds, right? Even though the world is going crazy, our schedules are going crazy, we can still have peace and rest in our hearts and minds. And so I like this verse so much, Isaiah 30:15. It says, "This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength." Did you guys ever notice how when you just take a minute and you get quiet, how different the rest of your day goes, right? If we start our day right away thinking about what we have to do, I mean, I do this a lot. I'm very guilty of it. Like, as soon as I wake up, I'm like, okay, what do I have to do today? Or we're looking at our phone trying to see, you know, if we've gotten messages or things that we have to accomplish. But he's saying quietness and trust is our strength. So if we want strength for the day and what we have to go through, we need to take at least a couple minutes of quiet and allow him to speak to our hearts and to quiet our hearts and minds. Because sometimes, I know for me, when I think I'm resting, I have the TV going or I have music playing and I'm not actually getting any quiet. Or who knows, like the real in our minds is just not quiet, right? Like externally, everything could be quiet, but up here, it's just not quiet. I don't know about you guys, but I have that problem. It just keeps going. And so sometimes if we just can quiet our minds and hearts and just listen and the Holy Spirit can talk to us, or we sometimes don't hear anything. It's just the quiet that just brings peace, right? So how do we rest and have peace in our hearts? We rest when we remember who God is to us. It says, in quietness and trust. We trust him when we know who he is to us. Okay, so I felt like he pointed out a couple of things to me that he is to us that can bring us that peace and rest, where we're like, we don't have to do it. So the first thing is, he is my father, right? He is your father. So let's turn to Matthew 11, and we're going to look at what he says here. So Jesus is talking about his father, but Jesus says that if we've seen him, we've seen the father, right? So it's Matthew 11, verse 25 is where we're going to start. Matthew 11:25. Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to children. Yes, Father, this was for your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me." So now he's talking to his disciples. "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And then he says, okay, so first of all, he's basically saying, if you want to know the Father, get to know me and you'll see the Father, right? So now he's saying, come to me, verse 28, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love that verse so much. I'm like, when we're stressed and we have all this stuff we're carrying, that we can just say, you know what? I have a father who said, come to me. And the picture here of the yoke, they would have two big oxen, right? And they put what was called a yoke around one of their necks and the other neck, and their necks were literally connected together, and they carried the load together. So here Jesus is saying is, come on over here. I got space right next to me. Let's do this together, and I will help you carry this load that you have. Because who knows, Jesus is stronger than us, right? So if we're talking about oxen, I'm picturing, you know, like we're a little like child ox, and we're coming along, and he's this great, huge ox. And all we have to do basically is walk along with him because he's carrying all the weight, right? And so I just love this picture, and I feel like the Lord pointed this out to me and said, that's the Father that we have, one that says, you don't have to do it alone. And so because he's my Father, I know that I can lean on him and rest in him, right? If I'm not carrying the load, that means I'm resting, right? He's carrying it. I also know because he's my Father that he's going to take care of all my needs, right? I don't have to worry. I can rest. Because he's my Father, I know that what he asks me to do is much less than the demands that would be put on me by other people and sometimes by myself, right? Don't we take up things that we're like, oh, I need to do this and I need to do that? And sometimes we really don't need to do it. We just pick it up. We feel like it's an obligation. Or we put things on ourselves, like expectations of what we should be doing. Sometimes that's why I have trouble resting. Because as soon as I sit down to rest, I think about all the things I could be working on. I see people smiling and laughing. Yes, this is what our brains do, right? So as soon as we sit down to rest, this weight or this voice starts to come on us and saying, shouldn't you be doing that? Look at that pile of mess over there, you know, instead of obeying the Lord when he says rest. It's a hard command to follow. It shouldn't be, but, you know, it is because in our nature, we just want to keep going, going, going. And sometimes we're afraid if we take time and rest, then gosh, we have to be alone with ourselves. And what if we don't like ourselves, right? So it can be kind of intimidating and scary. That's why, personally, for me, if I sit down and rest, I usually have the TV on or something going instead of just like being quiet. But when we know that he's our Father, we know that he's not going to put too much on us. And that what he's saying is, give me your burdens. I want to take them. Because he's my Father, I also know that I don't carry anything I'm going through alone, and I can always ask my Father for help. And he wants us to ask for help, right? If I see my daughter carrying the gallon of milk over and she's going to try to pour it in her cup, right? I'm talking about Isabel. So picture this. A four-year-old carrying a full gallon of milk over. I want her to ask for help, don't I? I don't want her to be like, I can do it by myself because I know it's going to happen, right? And sometimes it's like that with God. We're like, oh, I don't want to bother him. I don't want to ask him for help. But he's like, listen, you really can't handle it by yourself, you know? Just ask me. It's okay. And he wants us to. And he's not mad when we ask. He's not bothered, right? I'm not bothered if she's like, can you help me? You know, I'm like, sure, I would love to help you, right? And lastly, because he's my Father, I know that nothing will be too difficult for me because he is with me, right? He's right beside me. He's carrying it with me. So when I feel overwhelmed and that rest isn't there, but I'm stressed instead, I know, okay, I have a Father nothing is too difficult. He's going to walk with me through this, right? So he's not only our Father, but he's also our shepherd. And we're going to look at, of course, Psalm 23. And I'm just going to, I don't know why, I have probably the whole thing memorized, right? And we've read it so many times, but every time I read it, it just brings peace, doesn't it? Just reading it, because the Holy Spirit makes it real to us. And he says, yeah, this is who I am to you. So if you want to turn to Psalm 23, you can. I may read it in a different version than you have it in your mind, but that's okay. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes or restores my soul. Let's just pause right there. That alone, whew, peace and rest, that's the picture of what he wants us to experience. That he's leading us to lie down in green pastures and listen to the quiet waters, and he just wants to refresh us. He's not here to take from us like people are or like our schedules are. He's here to give. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love, or mercy, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that just awesome? His promises, we will dwell with him forever, and our cup is going to overflow. So because he is my shepherd, because he is your shepherd, we know, first off, he will never lead us the wrong way, right? We can trust him. I will always have all that I need, and I am not responsible to be my own provider. Isn't that freeing? When you look at your bank account, you say, gosh, I gotta work more, I gotta do more. But what we really should say is, okay, Lord, you're the provider, right? And sometimes it's hard because we can't see it. And money is such a concrete thing sometimes. But because he is with me, I am not responsible to be my own provider. It says, he is our shepherd. We shall not have want for anything. And so the Bible asks, I'm just speaking about financially right now, but it says, if we give our 10% out of our pay that he asks, then he is free to bless the 90%. If we don't obey him in giving the 10%, then his hands are tied. It's kind of like, I heard this analogy before, where let's say I take my son to McDonald's, right? And I buy him some French fries. And I give him the bag with the French fries, and I say, hey, buddy, can I have a couple French fries? And he's like, no, these are my French fries. There's only so many French fries, mommy. I want all of the French fries. And then I get a little hurt because I'm like, well, I gave you all those French fries. You didn't have any French fries before I gave you the French fries, right? And sometimes that's how it is with the Lord, because he gives us all that we have. He's provided us our jobs. He's provided us the finances that we have. The Bible said he provides longevity to our things so they don't wear out. And he does all that. And then we say, well, it's all mine though, you know? And so he is not free to bless us. Okay? So we have to obey him first before we pay any bills. Van and I have some testimonies about this. where we didn't know where the money was coming from. We were like, all right, we're going to give the 10% that we know he told us to. And actually, he asked us to give a little above that at the time. And at the time, Van was the only one working, and we had two babies at home. And we're like, all right, Lord, well, we obeyed. So then we can call God to account, as it says. Lord, you promised to obey, or promised to provide when we obey. So we did that, and a check came in the mail, right? And then it's happened over and over, stuff like that. Or someone will gift us something that we needed to purchase. That happened with us. We needed a freezer, and someone gifted it to us. And we were like, okay, that's his provision, right? But the provision isn't just financial, right? Sometimes he gives us what we need inside because we don't have it, right? We don't have the strength to talk to that needy person at work that comes up to us and tells us their problems as soon as they see us, right? That happened to me yesterday, so I brought it up. It wasn't at work, but. So God gives us what we need in those moments, right? When we're tired and we don't have it to talk to our friend or our spouse, or we don't have the patience left after the long day, he can provide those things too. So he's our provider of all that we need, not just finances and physical things that we need, but emotional things that we need. This morning, I was feeling kind of down about something, and my daughter made me a little card that said how much she loved mommy. And I was like, you know what? I really needed that. And the Lord just said to me, I know that you needed that. And so he told her to do that. You know, he can provide for our needs. He knows what our needs are, even if no one else can see it or we don't tell anybody. He still knows, and he cares about those things. He's our shepherd. And so in this verse, it also says, because he's our shepherd, we know that we will have even more than we need. It says our cup will overflow, right? And that's what we're giving out of when we give to people. We're not just like, you know, gosh, I only have two French fries. I guess I can give one to her. No, we have an entire bag of them, and we can spare one or two, right? And so when he is our provider and we're looking to him, we have more than we could ever need, and we can give it out. Right? We can give it out with our love, but we can also give it out with our finances when we can. Our church was gifted the opportunity this week to give to a ministry that's really struggling. We have NYSEM is a school Ryan and Joanne know about, but the Elam students go to NYSEM and they serve there. And they were really struggling financially because they had to redo their whole sidewalk. The city of New York was really coming down on them about it, and so they owe a lot of money, and so they were asking for gifts. And the elders and pastors prayed about it, and we were like, yeah, this is a great opportunity for us to sow into this ministry and to be generous. And like we've been talking about sowing generously, the Bible says that we will reap generously, and so we sowed into that, and we're excited, you know, because God is going to keep using that ministry. And because we were able to be part of it, we're part of the what they reap in the kingdom. So because he's my shepherd, it says he has his rod and his staff that comfort me. Because he's my shepherd, he defeats my enemies for me. I just stand and watch. Isn't that awesome? Right? He's not like, all right, sheep, I'm here if you need me, come and get me. No, he's watching and he's after them to keep the wolves off or whatever. And that's what the rod is for. And then the staff is to bring them back when they get out of the wrong place. And so because he's my shepherd, nothing I do or go through can derail me enough that he can't bring me back, right? We cannot stray too far out of his reach that he can't bring us back into his loving arms, into the flock. So I love that picture of the shepherd. And there's nothing I can do that will cause him to leave me. It says I will dwell with him forever, right? So nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, right? So he's my shepherd, he's my father, and he's my refuge. That means I can rest, right? I love the story of how Jesus is just sleeping in the bottom of the boat in the big storm, right? And they're like, "What? What are you doing? There's a storm out here. Aren't you aware?" And, you know, Jesus is just like, you know, "I'm in my refuge. I'm in my safe space." He's fine, right? So let's look at Psalm 62. This is where David is talking about his refuge. And if you know the story of David, you know he went through a lot. He had a lot of enemies, the Philistines, but even his own people were his enemies. King Saul became his enemy, you know, after he won the battle with Goliath and saved the Israelites. And then not only was Saul after him, but then after David became king, his own son was after him, right? And so David knows a little bit about feeling unsafe or like everything around you is falling apart. But this is what he says, Psalm 62. "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." And then it says, verse 3, "How long will you assault me, O man? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse." So he's basically saying, I'm not strong, right? He's a leaning wall, a tottering fence. Verse 5. So he's talking to himself now, right? He already said, I find rest in God, but now he's talking to himself, and he says, verse 5, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." I love this passage because, you know, he's reminding himself of what he knows, right? At the beginning, he said, you know, I can trust in God, right? And then he says, you know, but look at all this stuff happening around me. All these people are coming out to get me. But then he says, oh yeah, soul, trust in God, right? Sometimes we know in our minds that we can trust God. But then when stuff happens around us, we're kind of like, ooh, this is scary. You know, can I really trust God to take care of this? Can I really trust him for that? And then we have to remind ourselves, yes, I can trust him. He is my fortress. And we just have to proclaim it sometimes. And sometimes remind ourselves of what he's done in the past that shows us that we can trust him. Right? So because he is my refuge, I know that I am safe. He is protecting me. Right? And because we know we're safe, we can rest. Just like Jesus in the boat. He knew he was safe. It wasn't his time. So he was just resting. And because he's my refuge, I know I need to come to him and not try to do things on my own, right? David was a mighty warrior, right? Everybody, he was known for being a mighty warrior. So why didn't he just say, all right, my enemies, I'm coming after you. You better get ready. You know, I'm bringing all my mighty men with me. That's not what he said. He said, God alone is my defender, right? So David realizes that, you know, even though we are strong, we are not strong enough. We need God. And sometimes we can be like that. I know I can be like that, where I feel so independent. I'm like, okay, I got this, you know. And we kind of just go about our lives, and then we don't realize that, you know, if I'd asked for God's help, I would have succeeded much better than I did when I tried to do it on my own. Right? Have you guys ever experienced trying to do things on your own? I'm not the only one. Yeah. So when we remember that he's our refuge and we're safe, then we can come to him and let him defend us. I know there was a season of my life where I was being personally attacked. My character was being personally attacked. And you know, when you're being accused of something you didn't do, everything within you just wants to like explain yourself to everyone and say, no, that's not what really happened. This is what happened. And I just felt the Lord tell me, I am your defender. Just let it go. And I did. And the Lord revealed to the people that it mattered what actually was happening and where my integrity actually lied. And I didn't have to defend myself. They were just like, you know, that doesn't sound like you. We just don't believe that. And I was like, well, I'm glad, you know, and I'm just going to let the Lord defend me in this. I'm not going to change the narrative, you know. And so that, I feel like, is a really hard thing to do sometimes, to take our refuge in him and just be like, Lord, this is your battle. You fight for me. You are my defender. And to allow him to do that for us. It means us laying down our will and our fight and our desire to be right or to do it our way. Surrendering is hard. I loved the song this morning that Andrew did about surrender. And I was just like, yeah, it's a very freeing thing to surrender, but it's a very difficult thing to lay ourselves down, isn't it? Yeah, we want to surrender, but it means we have to lay down our will. And so when we know he's our refuge, we can do that. But also, on the flip side of that, because he's our refuge and he's with us, I know that I am strong when I'm in him and I can face anything that comes, right? So it just like also the song that my mom did this morning about, I can't face the giants, but my God can, right? It's like this, with he's our refuge, he's our defender. I can't do it, but I can because he can do it and I'm in him, right? So that is the awesome thing about him being our refuge. And so I can rest and have peace because I know no matter what, I'm going to be safe. He's my refuge and my strength. All right, and the last one that the Lord really pointed out to me that lets us know that we can have peace and rest is that he is my creator and sustainer. So we're going to look at Isaiah 46 for this one. If you want to turn there, you can. All right, Isaiah 46, and we're going to start at verse 3. So this is God talking through Isaiah to the Israelites. He says, listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you who I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. I love this verse so much. It's one of my favorites because it means he created me, right? He was there since I was born, and he's been carrying me since I was born, all through my toddler years, all through my childhood, all through my teen years, right? All through my early adult, and he's going to keep carrying us until we have gray hairs and we're barely hanging on. Right? He's still going to sustain us until he takes us home. And even then, we'll still be with him, right? Death is not the end. And so I love this because when we know that he is our creator and our sustainer, we know he's invested in me, right? The Bible says we are his masterpiece. He spent time on us, right? If he has watched us since we were born, and even till now, however old you are, he's invested in you, hasn't he? He has quite an interest, right, in your life and in your success. And if the God of the universe, who has everything at his fingertips, is invested in me and in seeing me succeed, what do I have to worry about, right? He is my sustainer. And the awesome thing is, too, he's pleased with me as his creation, right? Sometimes I have trouble resting because I'm too busy trying to perform. Does anybody else have that problem? where you're like, well, I just need to do more. I need to be more. I need to prove, you know, that I'm worthy of love, you know? And we fall into that lie instead of resting in the fact that he has an investment in us and he's loved us and he created me this way. He's pretty pleased with himself and with his creation, right? And because he's my creator and sustainer, I know that he's never going to leave me, that he stays with me always, like it says here, he carries us. No matter how old I am or how long I've walked with him, every day is a new day that he wants to walk with me. And I love that. Because he's my creator and my sustainer, I know that when I'm tired, I can come to him and he will refill me. That's what sustaining means, right? It's like, okay, my gas can for my car or my gas tank in my car is on E, right? People who know me know I love to drive on E. I push it to the very last second. And my van that I have now tells me how many miles I have left. So I'm like, oh, I got 10 miles. It's like 5 to the gas station. I'll be fine. And sometimes it's on 0 and I'm like, I'll still make it. And I do. Like sometimes I'm praying on the way there, but I make it. But we don't need to live on E in our spiritual walk, right? That's no way to live. We don't want to be coasting in and barely making it. So that's the awesome thing about him being our sustainer. When our tank is starting to empty, all we have to do is come to him and literally say, fill me, Lord. That's all we have to say. Holy Spirit, come fill me. I feel empty inside. I need you to heal me. I need you to fill me. It's not a long prayer. Literally 3 words. Fill me, Lord. And he promises to do it. It says he is our sustainer and he carries us. And he will give me strength for all I need to do and to keep going, to persevere, right? To make it to whatever that destination is. Because we're, you know, say I have a trip to Virginia. I'm not going to make it there when I have 5 miles left on my thing, right? I got to have like the whole like 357 miles when it's full. So if we want to make it and sustain and have endurance, we need to come to him and ask him to just fill us. And like it said before, to overflowing, Lord, right? And lastly, because he's my creator and sustainer, I know that I can tell him all my worries, all my fears, and he will give me all I need to succeed, right? To be a victor and to walk in that every day. And so we're just going to take some time. Well, Pastor Kurt, would you be able to pull up, I did the song this morning, The More I Seek You. It's in Windows Media Player. But we're just going to take some time this morning, and whichever of these you feel like the Lord really put his finger on for you, that you need him to, I don't know, reiterate in your heart, so that he's your father, that he's your shepherd, your refuge, your creator and sustainer. Whichever of those that you really need him, we're just going to take a minute, and the song is that the more we seek him, the more we'll find him. So I just want you to seek him. It's just a short song. Seek him during this and ask him to make it alive and real to you. I'm going to turn off the lights.
Drink from the cup in your hand. the more I find you, the more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I imagine your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
Let us learn how to just melt into your peace and be overwhelmed with your love rather than overwhelmed with our lives, Lord. Help us to choose this week to take rest and get peace and quiet when we need to, and to be able to say, I remember who my God is to me, so I can rest. Help us to remind ourselves, as David did, who you are to us when we're feeling overwhelmed this week, and to keep peace and rest in our hearts and minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.